Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. We're coming to you tonight with a special two-part episode. This is going to be Next Level Zen Night.
Hello.
Oh, and that is the unlicensed taxi driver saying hello, folks. We are a duo tonight. The panel has gone home. They are nursing their hangovers. And it's just us left.
You know, it's the last two standing. What can we say?
Cream rises to the top.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, oh, it does. So, folks, we have an interesting program tonight. We have an interesting potpourri section where there's going to be ranting and raving and some discussion that the unlicensed taxi driver doesn't know about yet, but he's going to like it.
Whoa, whoa.
I know. So, when we come back, we are going to tell you what we are drinking. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And folks, we're back. The wine that is subject to tonight's program is something that we've both been interested in trying for quite some time. I can't deny this. It's something we've seen in the grocery store. I'm sure you have, too. I originally dismissed it, but then I saw some favorable reviews, and I said, let's try this. And unless he's an taxi driver, went and made it happen. So, it is the Federalist Lodi Zen from the 2013 vintage. And Lodi is just south of Sacramento, basically, near Amador County, up in the central area. But this technically is a cooler area Zen. As a matter of fact, according to the Federalist and all the reviews associated with it, it does have a cold climate style. So it should be a little more tannic, even though it's medium-bodied. It should be richer. It should be what we like, although they say raspberry, things of that nature. It does have one review associated to it, and that's by Robert Parker's Wine Advocate. He gave it a 90. So, you know, that's promising. Regular price, I think, is, what, low 20s? But right now it's post offer, $15.
$15, yeah.
It's not bad. That's not bad. So, this is the first of the two that we are going to be tasting for you tonight. So, with that, Scott, do you have anything to add about this wine?
It's their line of labels don't involve animals, although some would question some of Thomas Jefferson's practices animalistic, but
that's George Washington.
George is on the label, but Tom's on one.
He's on the cab.
Tom's on one. Abe's on one.
Which one? Well, they have a Cabernet.
Maybe Abe's on a Pinot?
I think they have a red blend.
Maybe it's the red blend.
Yeah, and they're all... Yeah, they have a Cab, red blend, and this. I don't know.
Federalist.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but he is wearing a wig, though. Like Tribunal. Was it the wig, or was it the animal?
Yeah, I think it's the animal.
I wonder what the fox says about this one.
Ring-a-ding-ding-da-ding-da-ding. No.
So, when we come back, folks, we're going to put this through the paces. We'll be right back in the Wine Vault. So, we're back, folks, and we are getting ready to try the 2013 Federalist Lodi Zinfandel. And we've had a lot of things from Lodi. Some things really great. Some things dog shit.
Not so much, yeah.
It seems like Lodi is the whipping boy, where you know that they have good grapes, and I know that they're there. It's just, some things are just, what would you say, imposters?
Very much imposters. We had some bad Lodi.
They're the Hamburglars of Lodi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but so, this one, the look in the glass, our first look is slightly translucent, but then we notice just that slight brickishness.
There's some bricking to this, and it's not a very old wine, so one assumes that's just by design, perhaps because it is a little bit translucent, a little lighter. It's just showing that a little more than it normally would. But it doesn't have that inky purple hue that you might see other places.
Not at all.
Which also suggests that they haven't went out and blent Petite Syrah on this. Let's just take a look at the back. George Washington, known as the father of our country, was noted for generous spirit, bequeathing a prized wine cooler to Alexander Hamilton. Our Lodi Zen, generous in giving with flavor of blackberry and plum, is an homage to a great individual who was generally sympathetic to the Federalist Party. Zinfandel thrives in the moderate Mediterranean climate, allowing grapes to retain their natural acidity in the fertile, deep, fine, sandy, loamy, well-drained soils.
Let's talk about the legs here. We got some, not great legs, but some nice legs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fairly well defined. Let's take a whiff here. First thing you notice is that raspberry. I don't know about plum. There might be a little bit of plum in the background.
Yeah, they were describing it as blackberry, I think, but I'm not.
I don't think so. Well, I mean, raspberry, blackberry, on the nose, there is a difference, but when you have other, you know, senses going through there, other scents.
A little alcohol note.
There is a little bit. Trying to think of what it reminds me. You know what it reminds me of? On the nose, it reminds me of a jazzed up Pinot. Because it has a little bit of that muted, light funk that just is there but not there.
Yeah, the funk that's kind of accompanying the alcohol in the nose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of smell. Now, out of the Zin glasses, but that's what I'm... It kind of reminds me of that. And actually, kind of... It's a little too dark for a Pinot, but, you know, the overall translucent nature kind of looks like a Pinot.
Right.
But it's not a Pinot. What it tells me, though, is they haven't mixed any Petite Sirah with this. It's probably pretty close to being mostly Zin. And if anything is in there, they're not really worried about it. It's just unadulterated Zin, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's give this a whirl here. We're going to try this.
We're going in. One word. It's either balanced or delicate.
It's both. It is, it's not one that comes and screams in your face. It's one that a real Zin drinker, someone that really is into it, not just a passing fan, would appreciate. Because it has all those subtleties. Think of it this way. Think of how a Primitivo tastes. A bare naked Primitivo. Then think of this. There's a little more similarity there. It's not a lot of tricks and smoke and mirrors and like the Sledgehammer. That obviously had Petite Sirah on it. And some other ones we've had. This one is just pretty much Zinfandel.
There's a simplicity there, but yet it's delicately complex. There's that fruit's there and it shows up kind of in different ways across it. The biggest thing about it is the finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which has that slightly brambly. It's not tannic. They said tannin. There is a little bit of tannin on the finish, but it's not the kind of tannin that you're normally accustomed to, where, because you don't have a big dense red. You have one that's medium-bodied-ish, maybe not quite full-blown medium-bodied, somewhere in the lower spectrum of medium-bodied, I would say, while still maintaining a nice mouthfeel. It's an old-school wine. It really doesn't actually taste very Californian. There's a little Euro in it, don't you think?
Yeah, and, you know, it's like a fruity Euro. It's like a nice Bordeaux with a little more fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a slightly lighter Bordeaux. But yeah, I would definitely agree with stylistically. That's where it fits for me. Wholeheartedly. And by the way, folks, never pour a glass of wine on top a notepad because the glass wobbles and it scares the shit out of you. You fucking idiot. What the hell? Folks, I'm two shades from being institutionalized sometimes. I swear to God. By the way, you know how I had 4 Pinot glasses, Scott?
Yeah.
Now I have 2.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that was great.
How did this come out?
I picked them up to carry them in and put them away. And just 2 of them just bumped lightly. It shattered one right in my hand. And then in my sissy bitch fit, I dropped the other one. And so I had in the kitchen that whole thing all the way down through past the kitchen table, all glass, shards of glass all the way. I had one boy at the kitchen table and a little boy standing right behind me. Fuck.
Dad of the year, babysitter of the year.
Oh, my God. The little one was not happy when he was put back in his crib for 20 minutes while I cleaned it up. The other one sat at the table and watched the iPad, but not a that. No.
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 Not a good thing.
No. I wish I was drunk when I did it, and I wasn't completely sober. Oh, last. Well, maybe
there was a little turpentine in the system. Maybe it wouldn't happen.
That might be so. I think the Malomi weakened the glass.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Structural integrity.
Had the audacity to share our thoughts on the Malomi with a bartender serving us last night.
And bartenders are often very knowledgeable about wines.
Not so much. God. Well, this should be jammy.
What a fucking idiot said that.
This bartender.
A jammy Pinot Noir.
Yes.
What? Okay. Shame. Where's what bar?
The Avenue.
Says enough.
She did admit she hadn't had it.
Or anything.
She hadn't tried it. And when I tried to describe her the residual sugar aftertaste problems we had with it, she just nodded her head and went on down the road.
Because she didn't give a shit.
She didn't get it.
No.
I don't think she got it. I don't think she knew. But once again, we were in those little taster glasses and not a proper glass. So it really didn't. The sugar is muted by that, as we discovered in our little
taste. But it's jammy.
But it should be jammy.
No, it shouldn't.
Naomi 2015.
God. Below me 2015.
Below me 2015.
Folks. We're going to have a naughty list. It's going to be worse.
Oh, that is naughty.
They
made Santa Wine Guy's naughty list.
Yes. So we have a Hall of Fame, and currently we have a 2005 Numanthia up there. We have a 2009 Saint-Supré Rutherford Merlot, and we have a Zork.
Those are the current inhabitants.
We have a Zork. You know, it's the way it is. The Zork's very proud to be up there, by the way.
It should be.
Yeah. By the way, I gave the Malomi a 74, I noticed. That's very mean. That's a little over the top. I think I was being a little more punitive towards the Malomi because I was that pissed off at it. And I, you know, Malomi. Is it
Mayomi?
Screw, who cares? Stuff is stupid. I just, you know, 74. Folks, I'm revising it. I give it a 75. So now I feel
now better. You're being nice.
Now I feel better. Now who cares better. What it was? Shit. This, though, the Federalist, I know, by the way, folks, we just had an off-air visit by the Triple B. Say hello. She felt the Federalist was a bit bitter. Technical analysis here on the Wine Vault. And no, Scott agreed with her. No. It wasn't her style. And I think that's one thing we're going to get to here in a little bit, as to stylistically where this fits in. We both, I think, appreciate it and like it. Not
I'm
to
nodding
be
ascension,
and it's not in a snobbery way, because it's not really fair. Zin is such a, you know, across the board, it has different characteristics all the way up down the board,
and it's one of the things we enjoy about
mm-hmm.
Zins.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Vin's assisting you in drinking them or not, we enjoy Zins.
You love fucking Zin.
Zins. I love fucking Zin
and Vin.
Oh, that they're.
Mm-hmm.
They take on so many different characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
This, as we mentioned earlier, is a more cold country.
Yes, but actually.
Colder climate.
In my opinion. Well, it is, actually. Now, think about it, because the warmer climate Zins are the bigger. When they said firm tannin, it's actually more of a warm area Zin characteristics. This is more of a cold or a cold climate. It does have that raspberry, and it's more classic in that sense. It's classic if, you know, you're in Russian River Valley. A winery that I have a couple Zins from that someday down the road we will try, Acorn.
Ooh.
Just on the edge of Russian River in Sonoma. Their wines are all, I mean, they're an odd producer in that in a lot of different ways. But they do a lot of Italian clones, but they also do Cab Franc. They do a Syrah. They do a Zinfandel. The Zinfandel is a little pricey. It's $50, and it's not $50. It's not a $50 wine, But they charge that. But it is cold water or cold climate Zen to the T. But this is what that is. So if you like that style, it's great. Or it's good. Not great. Good. If you don't like that style, you might not. You will still enjoy to drink it, though.
Yeah, it's it's not like a Pinot Noir, but no. Then in ways it's kind of sort of is. It's delicate and
the flavor profiles is different,
yes.
Obviously, but the delicate nature of it is in a certain senses, yeah.
It has a certain level of smoothness throughout.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call it buttery, but it's on the verge of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really smooth.
Well, it's laced with that oak that just dances in. It's never obtrusive, though. It's actually, it's well made.
It's kind of a dancer, too. You mentioned earlier, I think off air, that the fruit's there mm-hmm. all the way throughout, but it kind of dances to different levels.
Yes, it does.
It's strong. It's the fruit's bigger at the end. And it's a dancer.
But yeah, it's an interesting, I think it's a nice, it's a departure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
When we did our lead in, we talked about hopefully it being a full medium body or a fuller bodied, and mm-hmm. it's not that, folks.
It's not. No, it's not. But it's nice to know in the $15 price range, there is something that exists there that is a delicate, somewhat elegant. Elegant is another thing that it is slightly.
Yes.
A delicate, elegant little Zin that is enjoyable to drink and is interesting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not your everyday Zin.
No, it's not. No, no, no. Especially like us, we like a bigger, burlier Zin, but it definitely has its place. So, folks, we will be right back, and we're going to talk to you about some other subjects. So we're back, folks. The potpourri segment tonight, we're going to discuss something I think you've all seen, email, Groupon, wherever.
What? Yeah, what? What?
Out
what?
There.
It's out there?
It's out there. Wine clubs, folks.
Wine clubs.
Wine clubs. You know, and there's a few that are more known than others. I don't know any of them. But, you know, like the WINC Wine Club. There's one. One my wife just received was the Lathwaite's Wine Club.
Lathwaite?
She got a...
Lathwaite? Mm-hmm. Lathwaite? That's like a character out of a Harry Potter novel.
Is it?
Ringwraith. Yeah.
Ring what? Ringworm?
That's
true, excellent commentary there by the unlicensed taxi driver.
Lathwaite?
What? Who fuck knows? They had an interesting deal. You got a $100 voucher, okay, which you could buy 15 bottles of their wine, well, wine, mixed match wine, for $69 plus $20 shipping and tax. So, under $100, 15 bottles of wine. Very appealing, right?
Very appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what do I do? I go online and look at it. Now, I've always been skeptical of these things. I mean, I know my sister, she does them occasionally. And she swears, well, this is great wine, but they also have stuff from Indiana in there. So, I mean, you know, what the fuck do they know? This $2 Syrah is delicious. Is it? Really?
They're all about $2 at 15 bottles for 100.
Yeah. Oh.
The shipping.
So, for Lathwaite's, or whatever the fuck they are, the interesting thing about that was, yes, the first one, you do get for that price. But you're on a reoccurring list. So they're going to send this to, I think it was quarterly.
Oh, my.
No, yeah. 15, or maybe, yeah, I think it was quarterly. And I don't know if that you can actually cancel it after the $69 one. And so the next one is like $200 and some. And, you know, if you do the math, that's 60 bucks or 60 bottles a year from this place. Plus whatever that costs.
And shipping.
How much do you have in it? $800, $900?
For bad wine.
Maybe. It has wine that you don't pick out in a store. I mean, that's 5 bottles a month. I mean, yes, here in the Wine Vault, we do consume that, but we are doing a podcast.
yeah, that's our excuse.
Your excuse is, if you do that, you're drunk. Just a fucking drunk.
Not us, though, folks.
No, we're not. No, 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 no. We don't have a liver anymore, but we're on the list.
Liver? Who needs it?
No, yeah. I had some liver. Remember at Wolfgang Puck's place? It wasn't very good.
I put some liver in my stuffing for over the holidays.
Well, that would give it a little, you know.
Pick it up. A little something.
Like pow. As
that and duck fat and you're in like sin.
Yeah. But so that one was a little concerning when I saw that. I went, yeah. If you could get, say you could get the 15 bottles for $100, some would be okay. Some would be bad. That's fine. I mean, you could probably find a way to drink them, you know, over time. I mean, Christ, stuff will hold a year. Over a year, you're going to drink that. But when you realize it's going to pile up on you, and basically it's just a scheme, then it's not such a good idea. And there are other ones, you know. Another one I saw, and I printed off some information. One that was interesting to me. I think it caught your eye, too,
Scott. It caught my eye.
What was it called? The gold...
The gold standard. Gold medal wine.
Gold medal wine. Yeah, that's what it was.
Michael Phelps wine.
Oh, gold series wine.
The gold series line.
Yes. And what it was, you could pick different plans. So you could be a cheap fuck and get, you know, something made out of someone's toilet and go all the way up to their diamond level.
Oh, the diamond level. So in the gold club, and the gold, what was it again, gold series?
Gold series.
The gold series, you could become a diamond member.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like model level marketing. Is this Amway?
No. It's legit. The diamond levels... And they only allow 500 people to be diamond levels. Yeah.
Again, it screams of multi-level marketing.
Mm-hmm. You get 2 bottles of wine every quarter. For how much do you think?
Well, it's diamond members.
It's diamond.
2 bottles of wine for $1.25.
Mm-hmm.
125. No?
No. Try again.
Up?
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, you're not going to tell
you. You need to decide yourself.
I'm going to go $99.
No, you're going the wrong way.
I'm going the wrong way.
Yeah, you're going the wrong way.
$199.
No, that's too much. You're being a dick now.
Well, I am breathing.
Yeah.
$149.
No, it's $179 plus shipping, I'm sure.
Plus shipping.
But I printed off some past members of the Diamond Club. Some wines that were on there. And there's some wines that you probably have heard of if you have a pulse and drink wine. One was the 2013 Lewis Cabernet. Now, you know Lewis because if you get the Wine Spectator, this wine got Wine Spectator Wine of the Year. So it was one of them. Another one. Let's go down through here. Delectus. I know Delectus. I met the winemaker. It's on here. Goldschmidt, who I don't know what the fuck that is. No, I don't know any of these. Chapelet is on here. Oh, I don't know that. I'm sorry. I thought I did. I don't. Here's Lewis's Red Blend. Basically, Lewis is on here. Hoops. You know Hoops? I don't know Hoops.
I know shoot Hoops.
I know Volker. Volker. No, I don't know that. I thought I did. Nope, that's a different one. A lot of these are knockoffs, one-offs. Oh, here's Plump Jack. You know Plump Jack.
We love Plump Jack.
Yeah, we love Plump Jack. Live Vineyards. I know that.
But at $100 a bottle? $90.
Yeah, I know. Plump Jack isn't $100 a bottle. Yeah, it's a little... Basically, it's Lewis and a bunch of fucking shit you never heard of. And if you had, you certainly... these are what they call their collectible wines. Tom Eddy. You heard Tom Eddy?
In the Heartbreakers.
Hey. The Beverage Testing Institute gave Tom Eddy Cabernet a 93.
Well,
yeah.
I hate when these people artificially
the Beverage Testing Institute
go putting their inflated numbers on things. That's who like, has the scruples to just arbitrarily taste things and rate them and publish them?
But we have credentials.
Oh, us too. Yeah,
we have podcasts.
A podcast.
But what's a beverage? Is that it's like Consumer Reports? The Beverage Testing Institute. So they have Mountain Dew, and then later they're testing Slappy's Cabernet. The beverage testing. Why don't you just say no review? The Beverage Testing Institute.
Well, they went down the street to their neighbor's house in the basement. And
I mean, there's a lot of things that are a beverage. I mean, you know, Mellow Yellow.
Red Bull.
You know, coffee. Taster's Choice.
Sanka.
V8. You know. Some people
V8
drink.
V8 Splash.
Yeah. All of those things. I wonder if they were tested by the Beverage Testing Institute.
I'll bet they have.
I wonder where that's located. It's probably located in... We could look it up on the internet, but I don't care. So, Scott, what are your impressions then of wine clubs?
Look, you've got access to all these different lists of wines. The Advocate, the Spectator. Rob forwarded me some top 40 list on some Oaky website, but it had some interesting things on it, and mm-hmm. actually, that's where I got the idea for these two bottles tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Something else we'll profile, and we'd gladly take you on as a sponsor, is wine.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For nominal shipping fees, you can go and take your list, whatever list you choose, and pick something interesting.
You can find it.
Find it there. You can get access to it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go poke through grocery stores
yep.
to hope and wonder, is it going to be there? Is it the right vintage? Oh, is it the right bottle? Because there's three different labels, and you really don't know where, bam, on your list. It's got a nice picture, wine.com. Mm-hmm. They've got this nice little program called the Stewardship Program. You mm-hmm. pay for a small fee. You get free shipping for a whole year.
And folks, just by use of the internet and the Google, you can
Google, man.
You can find anything to buy, and anymore with open borders the way they are across the United States. Pretty much every state can be shipped to now. For a time, you couldn't ship to Ohio. You couldn't buy internet on the internet wine. Now you can everywhere. You can buy directly from the vineyards too, and sometimes they're a better deal than they are from the stores. So there's no need, what we're saying, to have some fool in a freaking warehouse charge you overpriced prices for stuff that you never even heard of. I mean, I looked up some of the other wines. Those wines, we joke, because nobody's ever heard of them. But the cheap stuff, Gran Reservas from Spain are not normally $8.99. So when they say that this Gran Reserva is $8.99, it's dog shit.
Yeah, they're not... They're not getting the pick of the crop there.
No, they're getting wineries that can't get exposure elsewhere. And there's a reason for that.
Because they're shit?
They're not very good. Yeah, and so you buy this stuff, you know, I'll never buy that again, but then you look at it, you have 14 more bottles from the same jack-off that freaking picked the other. So, you know, they don't have a...
And then in your third shipment, guess what? One-third of your 15 allotment is... from that winery that made the worst bottle you ever tasted. And guess what you've got? Five bottles of shit.
And folks, I've been on the Beer of the Month Club. And I still have stuff I've never drank. Because it's just not any good. And I didn't have any control what they sent. Some of those boomers, you know. Some of it's kind of neat, but most of it tastes like, most of it's bad. It's just random stuff. You know, it was like one was a Sour Mash, it was by Left Hand. And they were in cooperation with some Belgium brewery. And Steve and I tried it. It was undrinkable. It was like a cranberry sour milk stout.
By the way, Steve is Esteban the Superstar.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. And he right now is on location for us scouting different things for things out in Denver. He's also there on his other job, but mostly it's just because of...
Well, he's working for us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so... Steve, if you're listening, get back to work. You know, make that money.
And... Right. Tell those folks that Miomi sucks.
Oh, yeah. Well, Steve likes Miomi. Or below me. What's that?
Loyalty.
Loyalty to what?
The company. We're both, I think, a little surprised by this. Not that in a negative way, but it's unique and a different zin.
It has its place, you know. And I enjoy it. It's just stylistically.
Something just hit me.
Oh, by the way, folks, don't do wine clubs. I think it's what we were trying to get to, right?
Yeah, wine.com. Don't do wine clubs.
Yeah, winelibrary.com. If you want old stuff, Vinfolio.
You know, there's a little right in the middle. Go for it. You just hit it.
You want me to drink?
Yeah, I want you to take a drink.
Take a hit?
I take a hit, man. Yeah. Right in the middle. And I want just a tinge of port right in the middle. Right dead center.
The sweetness of the fruit. Well, I think if you look up at a diagram of your tongue, that's a sweet spot. I don't know the technical term, your sweet tongue part.
I love when you talk dirty.
Yeah, I know, but Styx. Styx is on the radio right now, folks. If Steve were here right now, he'd be very excited. Didn't you call me Dennis DeYoung that one time?
You are Dennis DeYoung.
You're a dick. I don't look like Dennis DeYoung.
Oh, my Lord, folks.
Jesus.
We don't want to give out any identities, but it's Dennis DeYoung's twin.
Folks, unfortunately, our identities are on the cover page of the Wine Vault.
We're still trying to keep them secret.
Our first and last names are on there. They know where we're located. Yeah. It didn't take rocket science.
I'm trying to give our listeners the benefit of the doubt.
Unless we use fake names.
What do we use those names if we're using fake names?
My real name, folks, is Hank. That's not what it is. No one will realize that because they won't think it's a real name anyway.
I tried to get the big man out tonight.
Where is he?
At home.
Why isn't he here?
Maybe next week when he's not working. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He's working at night?
Yeah.
What's he doing? He got a new job? Night job? He's a night janitor or something? Working on some night moves?
Oh, Bob Seger. That's it. Dennis DeYoung and Bob Seger. You are Dennis DeYoung and Bob Seger's love child.
They can't first of all, they're men. They can't have a child procreation.
Could you be a little more modern about this?
Well, they can't do it and then one get pregnant. Is that not PC? It might not be PC to say that. I'm sorry. It's science. They could adopt a child.
You're their love child.
But what did that have to do with anything?
Just an observation. Folks, it's time to get on with it.
Yes, and folks, when we get back, folks, we're going to put this to the test and give our final verdict on the Federalist Lodi Zen. We'll be right back. So we're back, folks.
We're back.
Scott has just stated that he is going to be the official tester of all corn-based bourbons, which is exciting for me because I can't drink those things.
You know, there's an interesting trend here on the Wine Vault.
Well, the truth.
When it's stated that Scott just said, usually it's that Rob just said that.
Well, that's the same thing. So, folks.
He is the editor, so.
Yeah. Oh.
It is the same thing.
That's true. I haven't found ways to actually make words and then place them, you know, here and there, but I'll find that out.
You just speak them.
That's true. I sound like you. Hi, Scott.
Hi, I'm Rob, a.k.a. Dennis DeYoung.
Oh, that's just not nice. That's just not
nice. That's like the pot calling the kettle black.
So, we are reviewing the Federalist Zen from Lodi. 2013 vintage. Unlicensed taxi driver. It's all yours.
Well, I'm unable to go as high as Mr. Parker did. I just can't.
Most people are. He gets a little excited.
Well, he's got that good ganja. He's really high.
He probably said this is ageable until 2072. Oh, Jesus. I've never seen him say drink now.
One, this is definitely a recommended wine by Sancho. Sancho says thumbs up. It's just different. It's a different and unique, but nice Zinfandel. It's a, I wouldn't call it a trendsetter, but it's a change of pace.
Yeah, it's not
a change of pace.
It's the opposite of a trendsetter.
So when I bought this one, I bought a second one, hopeful that it was ageable, which it's not, folks. And I'll hold on to that, but not for very long. And when I want something that's just a little different or when Rob comes over and says, hey, you still got that bottle of Federalist? We'll break it out then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not your everyday big Zin. I wouldn't call it a special occasion gin. It's gin. Gin, not at all. Zin. It's just a change of pace. But it is, there is quality there. It's balanced. Delicate's a term we've used. We've noted that as it opens up, the fruitiness comes out even just slightly a little bit more, which the fruit's been there all along. I'm going to give it between an 88 and an 89, and I'm going to go 89.
Folks, I will agree with virtually everything you just said. It is a wine that is an excellent change of pace, simply because it harkens back to what Zinfandel is in a cool climate, and what it's like when it isn't mixed with Petite Syrah or anything like that. It's pure Zin. Is it an exceptional example of that? No. But it's a very good, competent example of that.
And I think they deserve credit for doing that.
Oh, absolutely. That's gutsy. Because, you know, it doesn't have the color profile. We don't have the dense blackness that we want. We are getting a translucent, slightly brickish, medium to light bodied, tasty red. But that's what Zin can be and should be. They just put off the vine and process it and put it in the bottle like you're supposed to. They obviously put George Washington on the label and all that other stuff, but you know, they don't have a Tumblr page.
Maybe that's where the oak came from, his teeth.
That's it has wooden teeth, isn't it?
Well,
that'd be oak chips.
Oh.
Wouldn't they put that on the back, though?
Well, it leaches through the label from his
wooden
artistic teeth. Wooden teeth.
That's terrible. Oh, God. But what was I even saying? But anyway, they don't even have a Tumblr page.
That's, oh, my gosh.
Or Grindr. They actually have a web page. Go figure.
That's
so
big time.
I know. So, folks.
They're
all
on the internet and everything.
I know. All things considered, folks, I'm going to give this wine an 88. And it's basically the same ballpark Scott's in. I think we're normally pretty close. Normally. And this one, I'm not going to quite go at 89 because I don't think I could ever put it to a 90. But I enjoy it, and I certainly do recommend it to everybody. Matter of fact, I think it's required reading.
Yeah. If for no other reason, just to contrast it.
Yeah. This is required reading for the Wine Vault, the Federalist Lodi Zinfandel.
2013.
$14.99.
Can't beat it.
Go buy it, drink it, and enjoy it, folks. So we are going to finish up drinking what's in our glass, and then we're going to rejoin you on the Upscale Zin Night.
Oh, and we're looking forward to the next one, folks.
So excited. I'm just shaking with excitement, quite frankly. So we'll be right back, well, on the next episode of the Wine Vault. And for Esteban Steve Gibson, cheers. Good night.